Before we open God's word, let us bow our hearts in prayer. Loving and ever so merciful Father in heaven above, we bow our hearts and our mind before thee, O Heavenly Father. We ask thee to be in our midst this evening hour as we are gathered together to receive thy blessing, thy benefits, thy love, thy mercy. We ask thee, Heavenly Father, to be our guide, be with us, and give us words of wisdom, give us words, O Heavenly Father, that we all would be edified through thy blessed and most holy word. So bless our gathering richly, be with us, all this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. For this evening's meditation hour, with the help of God, I would like to read from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Gospel according to St. Luke from chapter 14. Now let's begin on verse number 25 and end at the end of this chapter. Luke chapter 14, beginning on verse number 25 and end at the end of this chapter. Sveto evanđelje po Luki, 14. glava, početak čitanja da bude na 25. stihu, tako do kraja. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not first down first and counting the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted or seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but man cast it out. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, speaks about a few things. The beginning of it, I'm sure we read this chapter many times, and speaks about how he healed someone that was sick of palsy. And we know that Pharisees and chief priests, they did not like the fact that he was healing on Saturday, on Sabbath day. They were very envious and they could not stand the sight of Jesus, not just because he was healing on the Sabbath day, but because he was the Son of God. And then also speaks about a parable of a great supper and how when people were invited, they would be choosing the best places to sit closest to the host. And as he speaks to them about the great supper, he says that says, a certain man made a great supper and invited many people. And as we know this chapter, pretty much everyone had an excuse not to come, a reason. And not one was justified. There is never a reason or excuse that can be justified by not being able to come to God. Does not matter what kind of a reason, what kind of excuse, it will not be justified. Now, we might have reasons and excuses not to go over someone's house if we get invited. There might be a reason, but to come to God, to the great, great supper, no one will have an excuse. And as it's written here, many are called. God calls everyone. And yet, not everyone accepts the call because of the excuses, the reasons that each one has. So the last part of this chapter that we read, Jesus, it says that there was a great multitude that followed him. So he turns back to all of them, not only to his disciples, but to all of them. And he says to them, if any man come to me, if anyone has a desire to come to Jesus, to come to God, to follow him, he says, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and so on, he cannot be my disciple. Now we might say, we're not supposed to hate anyone. God is God of love. We know that we need to love our enemies also. And we all know that Jesus is not saying that we need to hate our parents and brothers and sisters. But if there would be anyone from our family, from our relationship that we have, our brother or sister, or anyone that would be holding us back, hindering us back, stopping us, trying to take us away from God, what does that mean? That means we should listen to them because we love them. They're our parents, our brothers, or sisters. We cannot listen to them. God comes first. So, in a sense, he is saying we need to hate not them directly as a person, but hate the act, what they're trying to do, to stop us, and that has been happening in many instances where someone would try to come to Lord, come to church, and the parents or brothers, sisters would disown him, would even want to talk to them and try to get him back. But Jesus says if we do not hate or love less those that are trying to take us back or stop us, we cannot be his disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me again also cannot be his disciple. What does it mean to bear a cross? What is a cross? We all know that Jesus was crucified on the cross. In literal sense, it's two pieces of wood crossing each other. He was crucified on two pieces of wood and three nails. But we all know that Jesus is not speaking about the wooden cross that we need to carry. There are many people that carry crosses around their necks. They put it above their beds. On the churches, pretty much every church has a cross, outside, inside, all over the place. Does that do anything? The piece of metal, wood, whatever it's made out of, cannot protect anyone. Even Jesus himself did not say to carry that wooden cross that he was carrying, but the spiritual cross. Denying yourself. Giving yourself to Christ. Crucifying your old man on the cross. Giving your life to Jesus. Full submission to God. That's cross. That's the spiritual cross that we need to carry. The writer of a song, 171, we don't sing it often. The author must have been thinking much about the cross as he wrote down what it means, what it should mean to us in spiritual sense. He did say the cross has two beams bound together, laid crosswise at the right degree. As we all know, that's the cross that the Romans used to use to crucify people. And verse number 8, it says, the longer beam is God's will in heaven, and the crosswise our will against it lies. Now, the history says that the long beams, when they were crucifying people, they were embedded in the ground before someone would be crucified. They put him in there, packed the dirt down, they made him so they're stable in the ground. And perhaps Jesus was carrying the cross beam that was easier to carry. It was very hard to carry a long beam when it's really long. And that explains, it makes sense with this verse where the author writes, the long beam is God's will in heaven. It's stationary, it's solid, it's embedded, it's always there. But the cross beam is our own will that goes against the will of God. So God's will in heaven is solid, like a solid foundation. But the cross that we need to carry, our own sins, our own desires, our will goes against God's will. And then he continues on beautiful verses in this song about the cross and what it means in spiritual sense. But Jesus said that we need to carry it daily, every day. If we carry the spiritual cross every day, we will be reminded of Jesus and what he has done for us, how he died on the cross, how he suffered for us. He carried all the sins, our own sins, on the cross. He crucified all the sins on that cross, on Calvary, for us. So we need to carry the cross every single day and deny our own selves. What does it mean to deny our own selves? Deny the pleasures, the lust, the sin of our own self. We need to lose, another place it says, to lose the life so we can gain the spiritual life. We cannot have both lives, the life of sin and the life of gladness and spiritual living. We cannot have both. So in order to be the disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to lose our life, get rid of it. Stop sinning. Mortify your sins. Put them to death. Change. And carry the cross. Then he continues on. He says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, would not sit down and count the cost. See what it will cost to build a tower. This is the preparation of being the disciple of Jesus Christ. Why does it say tower? Why not build a house? What's the difference between a tower and a house? We know a tower is very strong. It's tall. Towers were made to protect the people from the enemies. When you're in a tower, the enemy cannot reach you. And it was very tall, where you were able to see everything. You could see the enemy approaching and coming. So we need to build a tower to protect ourselves and to be able to see when enemy is approaching. And it is a lot stronger than a house. It cannot fall. But even whether we build a house or tower, this is just an example. Jesus said, you have to count the cost. What will it cost? Even when we build our homes here on this earth, we don't just start building. First thing is the foundation. We all know this. It might not be that expensive. You put a foundation, and then you start putting up the walls, and at the end, it'll cost more and more as you get closer to finishing the house. And all of a sudden, you run out of money. When you don't have money, you cannot finish. And what happens? It just sits unoccupied, cannot be used. Does anyone buy a house that's not finished? You have to count the cost. What will it cost you? So in a spiritual sense, we all know before we would be a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to sit down and see what will it cost me? What is it that I need to sell? What is it that I need to give up so I can build that tower? So I have enough money, in a sense, to build the tower. Needs to be prepared. We know even David said about Solomon before he was to build that temple of God. He says, my son is young and tender, and the house that needs to be built must be magnificent, full of God's glory. So he prepared, he helped Solomon to prepare all the wood and stones and all that he needed to build the house of God. And that this is one way to prepare our spiritual journey, our life. Building a tower is to sit down and see what will it cost. In Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, I believe, where he speaks about the kingdom of heaven. He says, verse 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buy that field. And again, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. When he has found one pearl of great price, again, he went and sold everything that he had to buy that that's worth a lot more. And kingdom of God is priceless. In order to inherit it, in order to have it, we must sell everything that's not of great value. So the man that would start building a tower and he could not finish it, people would look and they would be laughing at him, saying, this man began to build, it's not able to finish. And then another example, he says, well, what king going to make war against another king? Same thing, he will sit down and see, can I go with 10,000 people against the king, the army, with 20,000 people? We all know that you would lose the war. It's not possible. So when someone sits down and realizes this, then you send ambassage here and desire condition of peace. You make peace because you know you will lose the war. So sitting down and praying to God and asking God, what do I need to do in order to be saved. How do I start? What do I need to get rid of? We know the story of the rich man that asked Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Well, we know that Jesus reminded him all the commandments. He said, I have done all of them from my youth. I kept them all. He was very close. And yet Jesus knew what was holding him back. It wasn't because he was rich. The Bible does not say if you're rich, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is harder. But Jesus told him, sell all that you have and follow me. All of a sudden, that changed. It changed for him. He only had one thing. He was so close. My dear friends, many of you are perhaps very close. You do not live in a sin. You have not committed the gross, the big sins. And yet, there is something that's holding you back. There is something that you need to deny yourself of. There is something that you need to sell, so to speak, get rid of, stop doing. There is something. It might not be big, but there is something. If you do not get rid of all the things that's holding you back, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus is very plain about this. Verse 33 says, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. It is not possible. Then he continues on and speaks about the salt is good. What does salt mean in spiritual sense? Purity, kindness, love, all the good virtues, all the good things. We know in the Old Testament when people were sacrificing the sacrifices to God, they had to season it with salt. The covenant of salt. They were not able to offer a sacrifice without salt, without the preservative. So salt is good. It's being used nowadays and much more even in those days. They use the salt. But if that salt loses the saltiness, the savor, what's the purpose of it? We know the meals that are made, if you do not put salt, it just does not taste good. There's no, you cannot eat it. It's not possible. Well, it's possible, but it does not taste good. What do you do with it? Either you throw it away or you put salt. If you do not have any salt, you won't, nobody would serve it to anyone. It's tasteless. So if we do not have salt, the pureness, the kindness, the love, all that Jesus had and has, if we do not have it, we cannot be his disciples. Then we will be tasteless. He said it's neither fit for the land, nor yet, not even for the dunghill, not even for that. It's cast out. It's thrown out. It's worthless, useless. No use for it. So these are the examples Jesus gave, not just his disciples, but all the people. And it's still the same. Nothing changes. People change nowadays. And they change the revisions of the Bible. They want to change what the Bible means. But if something was a sin back in those days, it's still a sin. Whatever Jesus said still has the same meaning. Jesus said that if we're not baptized with water and the Holy Spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And yet you hear so many people saying that you don't have to be baptized with water. That's just a symbol. You will still be saved as long as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Many of them quote the Romans chapter 9, I believe. If you confess with your mouth, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You are saved, just like that. That's not what Jesus said. You have to take your cross upon your back, the burden, something that's heavy. You have to crucify yourself. I die daily, Apostle Paul says. And Apostle Paul also says, to glory in the cross of Christ. We should be happy that we are able to suffer with Jesus, to carry the cross. We should be happy that we were able to sit down and count the cost, to see what will it cost us. And we were able to, those of us that made a covenant with God, we were able to get rid of the things that were holding us back, that was hindering us from coming to Christ. Was it easy? No, it was not easy. A lot of praying, down on our knees, a lot of patience, a lot of reading, meditating, asking God to help us to overcome. Our worst enemy is ourself, our own flesh and blood, the worst enemy. Once we overcome that, on our own we cannot. We all know this. We need to pray to God and ask God to help us. And we, even those of us that made a covenant with God and were baptized, we still carry the cross. We still have to pray even much more for God to keep us in faith so that we would not go astray. Because Satan is trying very hard. He's not only throwing the darts on you, my dear friends, that did not make a covenant with God yet. He's throwing the fiery darts on all of us. He's trying very hard to deceive the elect, if it's possible. If it's possible. And is it possible? It is possible if we give in, if we throw that whole armor down, if we feel that we are free. We don't fight against Satan. We give in. Then yeah, he can deceive us. But if we have the whole armor on and we have the word of God, that's why he says take your cross every day. We have to constantly think on Jesus, what he has done for us, how he died on the cross. God and Christ have to be in our mind every single day, one way or the other, through prayer, through reading, singing, meditating. There are many different ways to think. Every morning when we wake up, what do we thank God for? Do we pray every morning? Do we pray every evening? Do we pray before we partake of God's blessing, the food, the drink? To thank God every morning for not forgetting to wake us up, even that's a blessing. For keeping watch over us through the night. We need to thank him for that too. I know many times we wake up in the morning and we're rushing to go to work, but that should not be the number one thing. That should not be first on our mind. But first thing should be to kneel down and thank God for watching over us, for being with us, for protecting us, and asking him to bless us and watch over us the day to protect us and give us all the things that we need. And God knows our needs. We should not be asking for riches of this world, for what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. God knows that we need all those things, and even Jesus said that. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Very important to know that we need to seek God's righteousness, not our own righteousness, God's righteousness. And all these things, all the other things that we need for daily life will be added unto us. Because God knows what we need. So in our prayer, we need to always ask God for his kingdom to come in our heart, to dwell within us, to be with us, to walk with us, and to protect us on a daily basis. Hope and pray that these few words that I was able to speak would be a blessing to all of us. And may God bless his holy word within our hearts. Amen.